Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. This year, the gravediggers of our race plan to bring as many as 300,000 mostly non-white asylum seekers to Germany, the highest number ever, the equivalent of the entire population of St. Paul, Minnesota. And that 300,000 is just the number of official applications. It doesn't even count the non-whites who manage to sneak illegally into the country, nor their prodigious natural increase. When the small city of Troglitz in eastern Germany was targeted as the destination of some of these invaders earlier this year, its citizens decided to fight back. Marches on an impressive scale, organized by the Racial Nationalist National Democratic Party, or NPD, demanding that the city halt its plans to house the so-called migrants, were mounted. When Markus Nierth, the city's mayor, said that Germans should welcome the invaders and that the city would refurbish an apartment complex to give them free housing, a new march through the city was announced. Its destination point, the mayor's residence. Nierth knew that most of the residents of his town opposed housing the migrants, and he also knew that, despite the fact that the controlled media and the occupation government of Germany calls them neo-Nazis, the NPD holds seats in regional parliaments and is supported by a large part of the citizens there. In the current atmosphere prevailing in eastern Germany, it was Nierth's multicultural pronouncements that were considered controversial, not the NPD's protests. Citing fear as his reason, Nierth resigned. But the multiculturalists' plans to pollute Troglitz continued. They continued, that is, until a person or persons unknown decided to set fire to the roof of the newly fitted but empty building where the invaders were scheduled to be housed at German taxpayer expense. The fire made it uninhabitable. The German caretakers of the building were warned beforehand so they would not be harmed, as admitted by Nierth himself. Those who are trying to genocide the German people and the white race as a whole, out of existence, may seem to hold all the cards right now. They control the media. They determine national policy. They can imprison or ruin the careers of those who resist. But their position is much like that of Romania's communist dictator Nicolae Ceausescu in late 1989, shortly before his overthrow and death. Despite his control of all the levers of power, the secret police, the military, the press, the politicians, the people no longer believed in him or his lies, and his position was far more precarious than he ever imagined. So it is in Germany. Despite the fact that most of those 300,000 invaders will doubtless still be settled there, the German resistance is rising faster than the system can arrest and imprison its leaders. The resistance has won the hearts and minds of millions of people, and the results should inspire us all. Within the lifetimes of some of my older listeners, the nation of Germany was the living embodiment of racial integrity, economic freedom, cultural self-determination, and eugenic progress. But deluded Americans, drunk on Jewish propaganda, and not knowing that there had been a coup in Washington in 1933, were marched off to die and to kill in Europe, and along with the equally deluded Russians enslaved by the Soviet system, they defeated the new Germany. The new Germany, which should have been the natural ally of scientifically advanced, eugenics-sponsoring, racially conscious white America. But out of the ruins of that terrible defeat, and despite the occupation regime that has ruled there for 70 years, the spirit of German resistance to national and racial suicide never died. Today, that spirit of resistance is growing stronger. And leading that spirit of resistance, we find the NPD, the National Democratic Party of Germany. When the NPD held a convention of racial nationalists in Germany in 1998, Dr. William Pierce was there as a representative of our national alliance. Udo Voigt, the longtime leader of the NPD and now a member of the European Parliament for the party, gave an interview to National Vanguard in 1996, in which he made it clear that the NPD is far from just another glad-handing political party, and far indeed from the milquetoast nationalists who fear to express their own fundamental principles, and so end up losing their own souls and even their reason for existence. Quote, "I would describe the NPD as the only party in Germany which has a Weltanschauung, a worldview. The NPD acknowledges the laws of nature, of which man is a part. This is the main point that separates NPD philosophy from the destructive philosophies of liberalism and communism. The NPD also acknowledges the natural law of the inequality of human beings. Our beliefs are in clear opposition to the position taken by the established parties. We see man as a product of his genetic inheritance, a product which is only partly influenced by his upbringing and other social factors." Close quote. Indeed, there was even a years-long period during which the NPD ditched all conservatism in its outreach program and then concentrated heavily on education of its members, especially its younger members, in the fundamental principles of race and nationalism. And it isn't just in the philosophical realm that the NPD is different from other political parties. For many years, they have been quietly and successfully doing what the courageous white American Craig Cobb tried to do recently in North Dakota, and which Dr. Pierce was beginning to do in West Virginia. Build white racial nationalist communities. Communities where our values prevail and where a new generation of white children can be raised in a healthy environment. The controlled media and system politicians have only recently discovered this community building on the part of the NPD, and they are wailing and spitting about it, as is their wont, whenever they discover that some of the goyim are onto them. Ilya Petrenko, a correspondent for Russia Today, a network which often exposes the crimes of Western governments, but lately has been playing the Nazi and neo-Nazi cards most shamelessly in an attempt to position itself as moral and anti-fascist. Petrenko hosted a program yesterday in which he quote-unquote exposed the village of Jamel in eastern Germany as a stronghold of hate. Viewed in the right way, though, the show was quite inspiring. In Jamel, the vast majority of the residents are racial nationalists and supporters of the NPD. In Jamel, there is a large version of the classic painting of the German family with father, mother, and three children, the same one used by the National Socialists in Germany in the 1930s and was reproduced on the cover of National Vanguard magazine in the 1990s. That painting is publicly displayed on the side of a building alongside the words, "The Community of Jamel, Free, Social, National." In Jamel, a carved wooden life rune is prominently displayed. In Jamel, a signpost was erected near the roadway, showing the direction and distance to Breslau and Königsberg, territories stripped from Germany by the victors in World War II. And also to Braunau am Inn, the birthplace of Adolf Hitler, the German National Socialist leader. The nearby community building of the NPD boasts a large red life rune, under which are the words, "Better dead than a slave." One of the community's leaders who is now being persecuted for his political beliefs is Sven Kruger, a local councillor and businessman and NPD member. The often-seen logo for his demolition firm shows a man with a sledgehammer smashing a Star of David. And this community building isn't limited to Jammel or Troglitz. This is happening all over rural Germany, especially in the east, where corrupt Western influence is the smallest. The London Times wails about it in typical fashion. Quote, "Neo-Nazis' secret plot to take over East German villages. Neo-Nazis calling themselves nationalist settlers are taking over small villages and towns and working as organic farmers, midwives, and craftsmen in their latest bid to spread influence in Eastern Germany. Groups of fascist sympathizers are moving into towns they believe are susceptible to their influence in areas such as Lower Saxony in an attempt to spread extremist ideology to residents and create geographical strongholds." Close quote. The neocon journal The Economist tells us, quote, that Troglitz is everywhere, close quote. The Jewish Chronicle finds no fault with Jewish settlers in other people's territory, but finds much to worry about when Germans begin to awaken again and defend their own ancestral lands. Their headline reads, "Invasion of the Eco-Nazis," and reads in part, quote, "German nationalists are settling villages and towns in Lower Saxony and Mecklenburg, Western Pomerania, in order to spread their hateful ideology among local communities. With the recent rise of Pegida, an openly xenophobic movement, and the extreme right Alternative for Germany party, the phenomenon of supremacists settling in former East Germany is attracting renewed attention from the media, politicians, and watchdog groups. A report published last year by the Amadou Antonio Foundation, a human rights organization funded by the German Interior Ministry, said that ideologues with fascist sympathies have unassumingly moved into sparsely populated towns and hamlets in a long-term attempt to create nationalistic strongholds. By taking up jobs as farmers, social workers, or teachers, they hope to win new converts to their cause. They subvert village structures and spread Nazi propaganda over the garden fence," explained Ann Schmidt, author of the study. The press was quick to dub them Oko-Nazis or Eco-Nazis. But despite the attention they are attracting, the phenomenon is far from new. This has been going on since the 1920s. It was part of Völkisch ideology that was racist and anti-Semitic as well, explained Robert Ludeke, press representative for the foundation. This ideology was based on the principle of Blood und Boden, the primal unbroken connection between German soil and German blood. According to Mr. Ludeke, these ideas had a renaissance in the early 1990s. Nowadays, neo-Nazis and other far-right families have bought up land in relatively obscure places like Lubtin, Güstrow, an area associated with the far-right NPD, and Benz-Briest. They are buying houses in these areas because they are cheap, and they are inviting other comrades from all over Germany to settle there. And they say, "Let's become neighbors. You can also work for the NPD, and we'll raise some sheep and pigs and chickens." In Lower Saxony, nationalist settlers have gained a foothold in an area known for environmentalism. "This is a way that neo-Nazis try to get in. It's like a door opener for them. It's a lifestyle that's mainstream and modern for everyone. They work for the fitness of the clean German body. They also do weapons and resistance training in forests." Mr. Ludeke said that anti-Semitic conspiracy theories hide behind their criticisms of capitalism, urban life, or even genetically modified food. "By cultivating good relations with their neighbors, villagers have been known to receive gifts of eggs and goat's milk from the neo-Nazis next door. National settlers are often able to stay under the radar." These are long-term projects. They're preparing slowly without being recognized. They don't want the revolution tomorrow. It would be okay for them if it came in 200 or 300 years, Mr. Lubecki explained. Close quote. Britain's misnamed independent newspaper slavishly echoes the Jewish line. Quote, a study entitled Nationalist Settlers in Rural Areas by the Amadou Antonio Foundation, a human rights watchdog funded by the German Interior Ministry, says that neo-Nazis are taking up positions as diverse as counselors, volunteer firemen, and teachers. Anne Schmidt, the author of the study, told The Times, "This is a very scary movement to observe. These extremely nationalistic right-wing people are settling specifically in little populated areas far away from cities to live and raise their children in a backward ideology. They subvert village structures and spread Nazi propaganda over the garden fence. The report states that this process has been going on for years." Close quote. Imagine that. The evil of it all. Sharing eggs and non-GMO seeds and food with your neighbors and telling them who is behind the destruction of their communities and their lives. By all means, read the PDF of the report, even if you don't read German. The pictures will encourage you. We hope you too will take heart from the progress and the intelligence and the foresight of our German comrades. And we also hope that you will join us, the men and women of the National Alliance, in building white community right here at home. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com, that's natall.com, or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have. Shout to the sky.